Spurcast, episode 479. It's Project Spurs' own Steven Anderson. Steven, how you doing, man?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. Thank you again for coming on here to join me in episode 479. Let's go ahead and get into this. We have a big show pretty much set out for us, Steven, so let's go ahead and jump into this. Okay, so Steven, last week I had Colin Reed on the show, and he and I were both wrong in our predictions. In the last four games, we thought the Spurs would go 3-1. We thought they'd lose to the Denver Nuggets, and in fact, they ended up losing to the Lakers and then the Atlanta Hawks, pretty much two of the worst teams on that slate of games. So to recap, the Spurs lose to at the Lakers last Thursday by 12 points. Then on Saturday with Kawhi, they blow out the Denver Nuggets in the AT&T Center by 32 points. It's probably one of the better games the Spurs have looked like in the last 2 months. Then on Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they lose to the Hawks by 3 points. Kawhi didn't play in that one. And then against the Brooklyn Nets as recently as Wednesday, they beat the Brooklyn Nets by 5. And at this point, we've learned the new Kawhi Leonard news that he's out for an indefinite period of time, which you and I will get into more detail about that injury a little bit later. But just, Steven, the Spurs went 2-2 in their last four games. They're kind of, you know, they're not really putting wins together. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They haven't won consecutive games since December 28th. So what's your kind of outlook right now on this team?
I mean, it's kind of one of those seasons, unfortunately, where, you know, the Spurs have been very lucky injury-wise in the past not to have too much going on. And, I mean, it seems like it caught up with them. You got Kawhi, who's we're going to touch on later. He had the quad injury and then the shoulder. And you know, we had Danny Green with the groin. Pau Gasol was out as well. LaVerne. So, I mean, we've had guys in and out of the lineup. So, of course, when you have guys in and out of the lineup like that, you're not going to be yourselves. You're going to be a shell of yourselves, basically, because you have guys playing more minutes than they normally wouldn't play. And I think that's what the main thing is, what's going on with this team. I mean, they're a deep enough team to be winning games. But to go lose the way you lost to Atlanta and put up a pathetic performance against the Lakers, that's more concerning to me than losing some of the other games. Because even without Kawhi, without, you know, Danny, you should be able to beat those two teams fairly easily. And they didn't. So those two games particularly are what shock me the most and worry me the most looking forward.
Yeah, and for me, what I've seen in as of late is that, you know, in the beginning of the season when they were missing Kawhi and Tony Parker and some of these guys, like you mentioned, they were still able to win games, you know, against the bad teams pretty much any night. You could just see that Vegas would pick them as a favorite, and they go in, they take care of business, even whether it was on the road or at home. But right now, I mean, it's almost like they are susceptible to any loss to either a good team or a bad team right now, because it almost feels like teams have finally figured out, you know, how to guard them a little bit better, especially on the road. You know, it's kind of like double team LaMarcus or just make his life as hard as possible and see who's going to beat you. What other Spurs are going to step up when Kawhi's not there, when Manu's not there, some of these games. And that's kind of what it's been. Like last night, you know, we're recording this on Thursday night, but they beat the Nets on Wednesday, and it took a 25-point performance from Patty Mills to help keep Brooklyn away. Even though the Spurs did go up by 17, they almost lost that game. You know, the Nets got it pretty close there in the fourth quarter. And for me, that's kind of what I'm seeing is, like, who's that second and third guy night to night that's going to help LaMarcus out? And that's kind of – whether it's a good team or a bad team that they're playing, and that's kind of where I'm at right now with this team.
Yeah, because if you look – sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Paul, but yeah. I mean – you know, if you look at other teams around the league, the Golden State Warriors, Rockets, Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics, so teams like Toronto Raptors, the Spurs play tomorrow, you know, those teams have more than one option to go to. And I've said this privately, I've said this on Twitter. I mean, the Spurs have a roster right now at this moment built like that. I mean, with Kawhi Leonard out, like you just said, who's going to be the next guy to help LaMarcus? I would like it to be Patty Mills. I mean, we've seen two consecutive games now where he's done fairly well. I mean, better than he's done in the month of the rest of January, to be honest. Maybe that's somewhere they can go. But the Spurs brought Rudy Gay here to be that next guy. And unfortunately, he's out. So Patty's history of inconsistency, Danny Green's obviously not 100%, and he's also has a history of being inconsistent as well. So where's that next guy going to come from? And I guess how much more time do the Spurs have as a team beyond this season built as they are? Because Pop even said it in the offseason, we have to adapt to how other teams are building their rosters. And I think they did a very good job of that in the offseason. Of course, they didn't expect for Rudy Gay and Kawhi to be out as long as they are, but we'll see what happens. I'm not panicking just yet.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into our topics for this week. The first one is obviously an updated injury report. It's just gotten worse since the last time I recorded. You know, every week I report on Kawhi Leonard and how he's doing. Now it's actually the worst news is that for now is that the Spurs just put out on Wednesday afternoon that they're gonna shut him down for a while, for an indefinite period of time, for return from injury management. Still that right quadriceps tendinopathy. Pop says that he doesn't expect him to miss the whole season, that they should be able to get him back at some time within these next 3 months before the playoffs come around if the Spurs make it. Rudy Gay still is out with that right heel bursitis. When tomorrow hits on Friday, when this podcast is released, it'll be 3 weeks now since the Spurs initially put out his injury. In a recent article by Jeff McDonald, Pop was quoted as saying that they still think Rudy Gay's going to be out a few more weeks. You know, he used the word weeks, plural there. And then, of course, now Manu Ginobili, who's been one of their better players, you know, when he does play, who the team has been relying on, is currently undergoing a right thigh contusion recovery after he got hurt in one of their recent games as well. So you're right, Steven. You know, this is kind of where the team's at right now. So just either three of these players or all of them together, what is your general takeaway from these latest injury reports?
Well, first off, on Twitter, obviously when the Kawhi news came out, I mean, most of Spurs Nation reacted like the sky was falling in typical fashion. I mean, is it devastating? Of course. I mean, do you want your best player out? Of course not. But you got to admit, before Kawhi came back, the Spurs had built up a nice rhythm. You know, LaMarcus was being LaMarcus that we hoped he would be. You know, the guys were getting into a good rhythm after about a month and a half or so. So, I mean, they were doing pretty well. And then Kawhi comes back. And, of course, like you and I talked on the podcast that day, it's a brand new team when he gets back. Now the same situation is happening again, except we got more guys out. So the outlook right now, especially with the injury to Manu, the good news is with Manu, it's not severe like it could have been considering his age and, you know, history he's had, things like that. But with Kawhi, I don't expect him to miss the entire season either, but I don't want him back unless he's 100%, because later on, Paul, and you know this as well as I do, later on down the season, when you get to March and April and you're still dealing with shuffling guys in and out of lineup, that's not going to help you down the road and possibly in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I might as well skip ahead a little bit here. So one of our Spurs Twitter questions was kind of about that. When do you think they need to kind of have this team together? And I'm kind of pinpointing March 3rd, which is that's a game where on that night, that's basically 20 games to the playoffs arrive. So basically, like, if they can kind of set that as their baseline, have everybody 100% healthy, that'll give them 20 games of good data to kind of build a rhythm, get some rotations going, and then go into the playoffs, you know, ready to go. And if it's any later than that, I think that they're really in trouble, especially with a guy like Kawhi or Rudy Gay, who are both two very high usage of players on the offensive end.
Yep.
And something to back up with your argument there was that, you know, Kawhi's played 9 games this year. 5-4, the Spurs are with him. They have been doing better with him, though. They were 3-1 in the last four. But overall, they're 25-12 without him. And obviously, you know, we know that they're not going to beat the elite teams in the playoffs with that kind of a team. But right, that team, you know, let's just say that was an 82-game season with no Kawhi. That team would want 55 games this year. They're on pace to win just by having, you know, not having him present at all. And that's because they've kind of built a little bit more familiarity with making Aldridge their go-to guy. They know how to have that game plan ready to go. And you kind of saw that, like I mentioned, against Brooklyn, where they put up finally a 17-point lead on the road. It obviously didn't last very long because the Nets did chip away at it. But, you know, when they're fully healthy with Rudy and LaMarcus and Manu and everybody there outside of Kawhi, they're still a pretty good ball club.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And one thing with outside of Kawhi and LaMarcus, like you said, they have a very nice team. Don't get me wrong, but you're going to now with the injuries they currently have at this moment on this Thursday that we're recording this, you're going to need guys, like I said, Patty Mills, Davis Bertans, guys who you wouldn't normally expect to have big roles. We're going to need those guys to really step it up, particularly later on when the Spurs face Cleveland next week and all these other teams. And we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Let's go into our second topic, Steven. Let's talk about the road ahead. Now, you know, the Spurs right now are 30-16. They're on pace to win 53 games this season. They have 36 games remaining. 25 of those 36 games, which are like 69% of their schedule, are against teams that are 500 or above at the moment. Now, the Spurs have not been doing well on the road. They're 11-14, and they still have 16 road games left. At home, they're dominant. They're 19-2, 20 games left. At home, they are plus 10 points per 100 possessions, while on the road, they're minus 1.2 points per 100 possessions. At home and the road, the defense is kind of equal. They're basically holding teams about 100 points per 100 possessions. However, at home, they're scoring 110.6 points per 100, which is basically like the third best offense of the Minnesota Timberwolves. But when they go to the road, they end up scoring 100.2 points per 100 possessions, which is the worst offense in the league of the Sacramento Kings. So looking forward to, my question to you is this. With the road ahead, you know, obviously we don't know when Kawhi's coming back. What do you think the Spurs are going to fall out of that top three spot?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I can sit here and say, oh, yeah, yes or no. But I honestly don't know because of how this team is constructed, how this team has a lot of injuries going on. Because I tweeted this a couple of days ago. Minnesota has now pulled even. I don't know if they currently are, but Minnesota, when I tweeted, had pulled even with the Spurs for that third spot. So I can tell you right now, no, Spurs are number three right now. Minnesota's four. They're a one game difference between the two. But with how, like I said, I think the Spurs might be in trouble staying in the top three. They'll be in the top four, definitely. But top three is a little iffy right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the same way with you. You know, just like you said, we don't know. Especially in terms of when do they get Rudy back and when do they get Monty back. If they can have most of their guys together, even though Kawhi's out, they're going to be still a pretty good ball club where I think they can play at a top three level. But if they don't get those guys out, I think they could definitely slip to the fourth or even maybe fifth spot if things go really bad, especially because they have a tougher schedule now to end the year in the last 36 games. Let's go into our third topic, Stephen, which is who needs to step up right now. Now let's. I'm going to take out some players from this assessment, which is like we mentioned, Manu, just because he's game to game right now. Rudy Gay and Kawhi. So let me list you their next three playmakers that are kind of healthy right now. That's Tony Parker. He has a 24% usage percentage, scoring 8 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. Then you have Pau Gasol, 21. Usage percentage. He's scoring pretty much 11 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And then you have Patty Mills, like you mentioned earlier, 19% usage percentage, close to 10 points, with 9.6, 2.8 assists, and 2 rebounds. Now, is it one of these three guys that needs to step up in the absence of Kawhi, Manu, and Gay for the moment? Or is it somebody further down the line, like Davis Bertans, Brent Forbes, Kyle Anderson, DeJounte Murray, or Danny Green? Who do you think it's on right now to help LaMarcus be his number two?
Can I pick more than one?
Yeah, I mean, you can pick more than one. Let's say, okay, here. Okay. I need you to give me a two and three. Who are going to be LaMarcus's consistent two and three right now?
Okay, I would say definitely I would have to say Patty Mills and Davis Bertans because we know what Davis is capable of. I mean, he's had games where he just comes in off the bench and his first shot is nothing but net. We've seen that in the past. So we know he's ready. There's no doubt about that. He is ready to go when his number is called. So that is very, very good for a player like that, for Pop to have on the bench. That's very good. Patty Mills, like I said, he's been inconsistent to start the season. He was hot in December, cold to start January. In the past couple of games, he's done very well. So I wrote this in my article last night or this morning when I posted it, which was, you know, the Patty Mills on Wednesday when he had 7 3-pointers, he showed that is why he was re-signed to a $50 million contract 4 years over the summer. Because of he can do things like that. And you know, a lot of teams don't have a guy that they can rely on to do that. Now, like I said, the Spurs have I'm sure they're not very happy with how he's performed recently. But, I mean, he's done well. So I think, yes, LaMarcus is going to need help for sure. And I would look to Patty. I would look to Davis Bertans because those two guys can produce offense at any given moment for the Spurs when the ball is falling.
Okay, I'm with you on Patty. He's one of my guys that I'm picking to be the second guy. I mean, for me, he's the third guy. For the second guy, I think it's actually Tony Parker. You know, I know he's up there in age and he's coming back too from an injury. He hasn't played that many games as well. But it looks like Pop's kind of giving him his minutes back. He's kind of letting him play. He's not making him on that same rehab process like Kawhi was on, where he has to have 2 days off. And you kind of saw it. You know, we get the news that Kawhi's out indefinite period of time, and then all of a sudden against Brooklyn that same night, Tony Parker takes a season-high 12 shots. Now, he didn't make all the shots. He only had 8 points. But I think the message was clear to him from Pop, like, hey, dude, we need you to step up and be the old Tony Parker for a little bit here to help out LaMarcus get a little bit more aggressive in attacking the rim, trying to get your teammates open rather than just kind of like, you know, running the show like a quarterback who's just kind of balancing out a game. So I think that for me, the two players are going to be Parker and Patty Mills. And I think Pop's doing something a little bit different right now just because they're limited on bodies. But he's playing Patty at the two a lot more, where he's having him play with DeJounte or Parker or Bryn Forbes. And so that way, Patty can be a little bit more in his scoring role like he is with the Australian national team, where, you know, he's coming off screen action. You know, they're getting him a lot more spot-up opportunities rather than him having to run the normal point guard role and just try to shoot off the dribble, which he doesn't do a very good job at. And, you know, here's the stat about Patty. This is very interesting here. When he shoots 40% or below this season, the Spurs are 13-13. So that means that's 13 of their 16 losses come when Patty does not when he shoots 40% or below. When Patty shoots over 40% in any given game this season, they're 17-3. They're almost close to undefeated. So you're right. You know, when Patty shows up each night, those games that he does, these guys are almost close to being a perfect team. But, you know, it also shows that when he's not there, you know, the whole team suffers, especially off the bench there.
Yeah. Let me real quickly touch on Tony. The reason why I didn't pick him is because of exactly two things you mentioned. He's up there in age, mm-hmm. and he's coming off an injury. So those two factors immediately, of course, he's not going to be the same explosive Tony Parker that we're used to seeing from seasons past in the championship years, but he still can't bring it. Don't get me wrong. He does have games where he does very, very well, but can he do it on a consistent basis where he's attacking the rim, you know, particularly because of the injury he's had? And, you know, can he do that on a consistent basis? And can LaMarcus and the rest of the team rely on that? That's the question mark I have in that. So that's the only reason why I stayed away from Tony, even though I do agree with you. He is that next guy, that quarterback type of guy that will be leading the Spurs.
Yeah, no, that's a fair argument right there. Counter argument, should I say, because, you know, that's why I didn't kind of want to pick him at first, was just because of the whole, you know, age thing, but then also the way Pop manages his minutes. But for right now, from what I saw against Brooklyn, I think Pop is going to be a little bit more let him have a little bit more aggression and letting him try to find his shot a little bit more. And I didn't pick Powell just because Powell can obviously put up numbers. You know, he's done it before. He scored over 20 points a few times now this season. But because of the way the league is, you don't know if he's going to play a lot of minutes each night just because of the defensive liability he can be when teams go small against the Spurs. Let's go to our next topic, Stephen, and that's the All-Star starters were revealed in the NBA. So let's just focus in on the Western Conference. The starters that were named were Stephen Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins. Now, again, this is 50% fan vote, 25% media vote, and 25% of the players. So do you think – I mean, a lot of people were coming to Aldridge's defense tonight, you know, when these ballots were revealed. They think that he should have got in over Boogie. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah. I mean, LaMarcus – first of all, if LaMarcus wasn't scoring 25 points a game, whatever it is, 22 points a game, you know, that he is – the Spurs are probably being like the Lakers record right now. So the Spurs have a lot riding on LaMarcus, and for him not to be rewarded in that way, you know, it sucks. I even tweeted out earlier, I was like, you know, he didn't get the fan vote, but I will be stunned if the coaches don't vote him in. So I do expect him to be there in the end. But does he deserve it over Boogie? I would say yes, only because, you know, like I said, he's had a much tougher role on this team carrying this team than Boogie, because Boogie's had, you know, Anthony Davis next to him for most of the season. So, but am I upset about it? No.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of expected. You know, I just look at the records. You know, that's kind of where you just got to look at. Spurs are 30-16, should I say, and the Pelicans are 23-21. So, like, you know, if you have two All-Star starters, you would think that they'd be doing a little bit more for their team in terms of having the record a little bit better, and LaMarcus by himself has pretty much carried the Spurs, like we just mentioned. Some other news about that. Yeah, and I agree with you, Stephen, where I think that, you know, Pop's already made it adamant this entire season. He said it several times. is that that LaMarcus will be an All-Star this season. He's going to make sure the coaches across the league put LaMarcus in the All-Star game, so he will get voted in next Thursday when the reserves are revealed. Let's just go to some other notes from this selection. So it turns out that the fans love Manu Ginobili. The NBA fans actually voted him ahead of James Harden in the fan voting category. So had the old rules been in place where the media didn't have a part of the players, Manu would be an actual All-Star starter at age 40, even though he's missed 9 games because of rest. And then, of course, now he's hurt with the thigh injury. But Manu would have been a starter for the fans, from the fans' perspective, at the guard spot. And then Aldridge, by the media, they felt, you know, they kind of feel like you and I, where they thought that he should have started over Cousins. So the media did put Aldridge in it on their side of the vote. But, of course, it wasn't the majority when you include the other two areas.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been cool to see Manu at age 40 get a starting spot in the All-Star game, though.
Yeah, I mean, it would have kind of been like that, those Kobe Bryant years a few years ago as well.
yeah.
Okay, so Steven and I are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family's safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Okay, thank you for listening to SpursCast, episode 479. I am joined by Steven Anderson of ProjectSpurs.com. Make sure you're following Steven on Twitter, at SteveMAnderson_. Okay, SpursCast listeners, now Steven and I will get into your SpursCast questions that you sent to us on Twitter using the hashtag SpursCast. So I've narrowed them down. I know, thank you all for sending the questions. There was a few more questions than usual, but I narrowed it down to 4 questions here that I wanted to explore. There's some different takeaways here. Okay, so Steven, our first question comes from at SlyGod02. They ask, expectations for the remainder of the season, do the Spurs reach 50 wins? Thoughts on Forbes? Forbes, in my opinion, could be a Curry. I don't know if they're mentioning Steph Curry or his brother. Pretty sure the brother. But for now, well, I assume they're talking about Steph Curry. Okay, Steven, go ahead.
Okay, do the Spurs reach 50 wins? I say yes. You know, like I know they're struggling right now, but eventually, they're going to get it together. I don't see this team getting 40-something wins or hovering in the mid-40s or upper 40s. I think they'll exceed 50. I say about 51, 52 wins, but I think they'll get 50. Forbes, I know I was low on him earlier, but Forbes has done very well. As Curry, I'm going to assume it's his brother, not Steph Curry. But, I mean, I could see him being another Curry, which depends on which one. But I like him. I think he's a very good asset for the Spurs. I don't see him getting waived anytime soon, particularly not only because of injuries, but I like him. He's done very well.
Okay. I too agree where I don't think they're going to – for me, I don't think they'll slip past the 5 seed, you know, right now with Kawhi out. I can't see them getting – you know, doing any worse than Minnesota or OKC, and I can't see the Pelicans or Clippers or Blazers or Nuggets overpassing San Antonio. So that's the first part of this is where my expectation is where they might finish. I can still see them even third, though, to the end of the year. Do they reach 50 wins? I'm going to be a little bit more hesitant on that. I'm going to say 50, 51. Just because, okay, like I mentioned, 69% of their schedule remaining is against the better teams in the league, 500 or above. And, you know, and teams have kind of figured out their offense a little bit more often. I do think, though, that there's a better balance now. I mean, the guys have more confidence knowing – not. I don't know if confidence is the right word. They just know their roles now that Kawhi's out. You know, they kind of – they're going to go back to that old model they were using the first 2 months of the season, and I think they're going to be a little bit more grounded in their approach to each game. Now, on the Forbes part, you know, he's a good player. 7 points per game, 1 assist, 1.4 rebounds, 20 in 21 minutes. He's getting real minutes. Pop's giving him a real role here because everybody's injured. Shooting above league average from 39% from three. You know, he's a good player. He's going to be a restricted free agent this summer, so he should be able to get some money in his pocket, or whether it's from the Spurs or somebody else. So he's done the right things this season. Now, I didn't prepare like this, like if it was Steph's brother, but I, you know, just to show you that he's definitely not Steph Curry, here's the numbers. Let's say that Forbes was playing 36 minutes a game each night. He'd be scoring 12.8 points, 2.4 rebounds, and 1.7 assists. The current Stephen Curry scores 27 points, 5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists. So he's not close to, I don't think, ever becoming a Steph Curry. You know, he's got some little elements in his game with the shooting, obviously. But Steph is just, you know, he might win the MVP again this year. That's how good this guy is. You know, he's an all-star starter, so I don't think Forbes will ever get close to that to his level, although Forbes has had a good season. Steven, our next question comes from at the Kev Nation. They ask, what seed in the West will San Antonio finish? And can they challenge Golden State in a 7-game series?
First of all, I love that handle. That's number one. Second, let's see. Will they finish? I'm going to say third or fourth. One of those two. I mean, I think they'll finish there. I already said it earlier. I mean, they're going to get 50 wins. I say 51, maybe 52, maybe. But one of those two they'll get. I think they have a good chance to finish third. But with the schedule being heavy towards playoff-type teams, above 500 teams, that's where I worry about it. So I'm going to say fourth. And then what was the second part of that question?
And can they challenge Golden State in a 7-game series?
I'm assuming they mean as the roster as is. If it's injured like this, of course not. If they're all fully healthy and, like you said, Paul, in that 20-game max until the playoffs in March, if they're fully healthy by then – and LaMarcus plays like he's been playing, and Kawhi can put up at least 18 points a game, and Rudy Gay can go about 15 a game. Yes. Is that realistic at this point? No. But if they're fully healthy and Patty can be the Patty we've seen the past couple of games, yes, they have a good chance to upset Golden State. But I just don't see it happening right now, unfortunately.
Okay. I think that just because of the circumstances with Kawhi and then, you know, Rudy Gay out still and Manu, I'm going to say they're going to finish number four as of right now, where I see them, the four seed. I think Minnesota will pass them up. Now, do I think they can challenge Golden State? No, not right now, just because, like you mentioned, with this current team, they're all injured. I would say no. And if they don't get everybody ready to go by March, you know, start at the start of March, I don't have any confidence that they can put it together with like 10 games after the season or 15 games. It's got to be a good, you know, amount of games, the 20-game sample size, kind of start getting your roles together. Because, you know, if they can get back to that level they were at last year, you know, these guys are up 25 on the Warriors before Kawhi gets hurt. And now this same team has added Rudy Gay, another element, another ball handler, who it's harder to double, you know, Kawhi and LaMarcus. And LaMarcus is another player. He's now an all-star. He wasn't an all-star last year. Then I think this series is interesting. Overall, because of all these circumstances, it's a lot of what ifs. I'd give the Warriors, who I know on paper right now and on with my own eye test, are healthy or for the most part. And they're basically en route again to win another championship. I don't see anybody right now going to beat Golden State in the current NBA at all. Let's go on to our next question, Steven. It comes from at GManiv25. They ask, should the Spurs sign or trade for another front court player, considering they have less front court players than guards with Rudy Gay and Kawhi Leonard out for extended periods of time? So, Steven, before you answer this question, let me just read you their current positions. Okay, as bigs, they have Powell, LaVerne, Aldridge, and Bertans. Forwards, these are the guys that are healthy, by the way. They have Kyle Anderson. Wings, they have Danny Green, Bryn Forbes, Brandon Paul, and Derek White. Combo guard, they have Patty Mills. And then point guards, they have Tony Parker and DeJounte Murray. There's no spots open, so do you think they need to make a trade or sign somebody, release somebody, and then sign somebody?
Look, I like the wording of this question. Do I think they can make a trade? Of course. Do I think they will make a trade? No. Because, like I said, look at this team the way it is. Injuries, you know, guys, you said, even Paul, you said it yourself, guys are getting more comfortable in the roles they're playing. Guys like Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans, Brandon Paul, even LaVerne, who's gotten a little bit more playing time as of recently. They're all getting confident. They're all understanding their roles. If you get rid of even one of those pieces, let's just hypothetically say it's LaVerne, you're going to mess up that position for the bigs, and then you're going to have guys having to learn certain positions again. And we all know Pop has a history of not wanting to mess things up in the middle of the season, you know, unless you're Richard Jefferson, of course, who he traded away. So, I mean, you know, most of the time the Spurs don't make a move, and it's for a good reason. Unfortunately, even with the injuries they have right now, I'm going to say no, I don't see them making a trade.
Okay, I don't either. And the only way I think they would look at it would be if they knew that perhaps Kawhi wasn't coming back this season. And they want to make much of a run they could with Aldridge, just to get him another guy with him and Rudy Gay as their third guy. Maybe they go after somebody with the higher usage. But again, who are they trading? You know, I don't think they're going to get rid of Powell just because of, one, his contract, and two, him and LaMarcus have built really good chemistry. They've both been, you know, verbally in interviews. LaMarcus has really come to his defense where he says, you know, we've developed chemistry. I read an interview or heard on TV somewhere that they sit together on the plane this season. They watch film together. They have that little high-low going. So for LaMarcus, his comfortability, should I say, I think Powell's safe. The guy with a movable contract would obviously be next in line is probably Patty Mills, because it's $10 million, you know, that you can get yourself a player with that. But the problem is Mills doesn't really have much of a market. You know, he's a backup point guard. He has struggled, like you mentioned, this season, especially with more minutes and a deeper role and a more consistent role. And teams are seeing that. And any team that's going to want him either way is going to be somebody who needs like a backup, like a contending team. And they're not going to be willing to give away an asset who's actually going to make a difference on the Spurs' roster. So just because of the circumstances with their contracts, I can't see the Spurs trading somebody. And I also can't see them waiving anyone as of right now to sign a player that's going to be on the buyout market a little bit later on in March. Let's go to our next question. It comes from at Greco Suave. They ask, the Spurs' road offense stinks without their main guys. That's true. Okay. I expected Patty to step up. Since the new contract, should the Spurs be expecting more from Patty? Let me just read you some stats, Steve, before you answer this question. So these are the Spurs' leading scorers at home using the players that are currently healthy. At home, LaMarcus Aldridge, 22 points. Danny Green, 12 points. Pau Gasol, 11 points. Tony Parker, 10 points. And Kyle Anderson, 10 points. On the road, LaMarcus Aldridge, 23. Patty Mills, 10 points. Pau Gasol, 10 points. Kyle Anderson, 7. And Forbes, 7. So the two guys there that drop off on the road are Danny Green and Tony Parker from that list. And for some reason, Patty actually emerges better on the road than he does at home. So just answer this question first, Stephen, about their offense on the road. And then you've kind of given your opinion on Patty pretty much.
Okay, well, offense on the road, you know, it'll be much easier if they could just play every game at the AT&T Center. It'll be much easier, but unfortunately, they can't do that. So, I mean, what's going on the road? I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, there's some, like we talked about earlier, the Atlanta game. They had no business losing that game. The game against the Lakers, you know, they completely either just forgot there was a game or didn't really want to win the game. I don't know. I cannot tell you what the difference is between home and road other than the venue. I mean, some of the games, they just look like disinterested, or I mean, Pop, I believe, made a comment after the Detroit game when the Spurs were up there at the Little Caesars Arena, which, by the way, is the weirdest name for an arena I've ever heard. we didn't respect the opponent, and I feel that's what happened in Atlanta. That's what happened in with the Lakers. I mean, they thought, okay, well, these are the two worst teams in the league. You know, even without our injuries, we can win this game, and unfortunately it didn't happen. But as far as offense goes, with Patty, I've already discussed Patty, but I think the bigger concern on the road is Danny Green. I mean, I do know he's had injuries, and he's had a growing tightness that's really affected him, but I'm hoping that this can kind of turn him around a little bit, considering Toronto's coming in. We're going to Toronto tomorrow, so that one should be. But I think more than Patty, my bigger concern is Danny.
Okay. You know, I think that there's that old, that old saying that role players basically play better at home than they do on the road. So I think, right. I think you're kind of see that, like you mentioned with some of the young guys, whether it's on offense or defense, on the road, they're not as locked in. They're not as focused. They lose their mental toughness, their focus just disappears sometimes on the road, like you mentioned, against those bad teams. And, you know, it's harder on the road when you have fans cheering against you. when and your shot's not going, it's hard to get that rhythm back, get that groove back, and you kind of lose your confidence. I think you've seen that with their role players. Because, you know, the veterans are stable. You know, LaMarcus is giving you 22 either way on the road or at home. Powell's giving you, 11 points on either place. Even Kyle Anderson, for he's still playing well. It's just the other role players who are kind of falling apart there when they go on the road. So they obviously need some more confidence for those guys and just kind of for those guys to get a little bit more locked in and focused going forward, because, they do have their issues on the road where they're 11-14. Now, the Patty question is interesting. You know, there was a game recently where he was kind of – he was like the scapegoat where people were mad at him because he had a really bad game. I think he had like four turnovers and he missed all his shots or something like that. Anyway, so people were mad about the contract. You know, he got re-signed with the Spurs for 4 years, $48 million. My thinking is there's two different perspectives here. There's the fans' perspective, and then there's the Spurs' perspective. You know, when the Spurs gave him this contract, they knew what they're signing Patty Mills up for. He's there to be a backup point guard, be an explosive weapon off the bench, give spot-up shooting to Kawhi and LaMarcus, and have a really good chemistry with the bench unit. So they were willing to pay $10 to $12 million for that kind of production. From the fans' perspective, they see the $48 million, and they're saying this is just wasted money. Why he's not getting any better? He has more of an increased role with everybody injured. Why isn't he stepping up? But that's just not who Patty Mills is. I'm not trying to defend him either. I think he should be playing better. But as far as what the fans are expecting and what the Spurs are expecting, the Spurs didn't know Kawhi's going to be out pretty much all year, and that now Patty all of a sudden has to become a real weapon for them out of his comfortable zone. So there's. Either way, you can make good arguments, you can make bad arguments. I just think that for who the Spurs signed, they kind of knew what they were signing up for when they re-signed him. And it's kind of not fair to make him become this player that he's really not. And that's what the fans are expecting. So, it's just can be upset. If they trade him, okay, well, then that shows you maybe they did want more from him. But if they don't, hey, that's kind of – they know who Patty is. He's there as a backup weapon off the bench to help supply some shooting for the Spurs. When all their guys are there, should I say.
Right.
Okay, so now thank you, SpursCast listeners, for sending us those questions using hashtag SpursCast. The last segment of this SpursCast, Steve and I will preview the Spurs' upcoming four games before I record SpursCast episode 440 next week. Okay, so Steven, like you mentioned earlier, the Spurs traveled to Toronto Friday evening. The Raptors are 30-13 this season, second in the Eastern Conference. Offensively, they are the third best offense, 113 points per 100 possessions. Defensively, they're sixth best defense, 105.6 points per 100. The Raptors are 7-3 in their last 10 games. Who do you have Friday night in Toronto? By the way, Vegas has the Raptors as a 5.5-point favorite.
I love this part because we get to see how wrong we are at the end of the week. So, let's see. I say the Spurs lose, unfortunately, to Toronto. They had a tough time beating him when he came to San Antonio earlier in the season. So, and that was, by the way, with Rudy Gay, and without Tony Parker, without Kawhi Leonard. So I just don't see the Spurs winning that game now because of inconsistency with offense. You got guys coming in out of the lineup with injuries. Guys, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I'm not going to say blowout, but I just don't see the Spurs winning this game, unfortunately.
Okay. I actually think it could get to a blowout. I have Toronto in this one. It's all about the Spurs' start. If they fall behind by 10 to 12 points early in the first quarter, it could be over. Pop could be pulling the plug by the third quarter on them if it goes deep into the 15 to 20-point range. The Spurs really need to come out and be focused here, as much as they can. Again, remember, they're the underdog now. Against some of these better teams, they're going to be the underdog. The Raptors are top 10 in both offense and defense. You can kind of throw that first game out the window because, one, it was the third game of the season for both teams. You're right. San Antonio had all their players. At that time, Kyle Lowry wasn't really Kyle Lowry at this point. He was barely kind of getting into his groove, and now he's playing a lot better. DeMar DeRozan's obviously an all-star starter. The Raptors have just been playing very well overall, the second-best team in the East. And I just think without everybody there for San Antonio and with them being almost losing to bad teams, there's just no way. I don't think they're going to beat Toronto. So I'm going to give the Raptors a win as well. So we're both starting the Spurs off 0-1 in our predictions. Then, Steven, on Sunday, the Spurs come back home to San Antonio. They host the Indiana Pacers, who are 24-20, the sixth best team in the East. The Pacers are sixth offensively, 110.6 points per 100 possessions. Defensively, they have their issues, 23rd in the league, 109 points per 100 possessions. Indiana is 5-5 in their last 10 games. Who do you have Sunday?
Well, let's see. I would have to say the Spurs by a hair. The reason I say that is the Spurs will be at home. Because if we saw them lose to Indiana in Indiana earlier mm-hmm. in the season. Like I said, we can go back at time. We know the injury factor by now, so I'm not going to get too much into that. But, I mean, it's a completely different team now for the Spurs as well as is Indiana. Indiana played a little bit better than they have to start the season. So there's that. But I see the Spurs winning because they'll have the home crowd behind them. Davis Bertans usually shoots better at home. LaMarcus is LaMarcus. So if those two guys, maybe Patty Mills and Danny Green, can step it up at home as well, I think the Spurs walk out of there with the win.
Okay, I agree with you too. I have the Spurs in this one. You know, obviously Victor Oladipo's had a magnificent season. He's going to be an All-Star as well. He should have. I think he numbers wise he maybe should have been ahead of DeRozan or Irving just based on some of the numbers that he's putting up. And efficiency, should I say. But, you know, regardless, he will be in reserve next week when the coaches put him in. I still don't have the Spurs. I think that their role players are going to play better. You know, as long as Danny Green's there, he's going to be giving Oladipo some matchup issues as far as defending him, trying his best to keep him in front of him. So I'd have the Spurs there in that one as well. Let's go to next Tuesday, Stephen. The Spurs host the Cleveland Cavaliers for the first time this season. The Cavs are 26-17 this season, third in the East. Offensively, they're top five. They're fifth, 112.3 points per 100 possessions. But defensively, they're 111.4 points per 100 possessions, which is 27th. A really bad defense in Cleveland. The Cavs are kind of spiraling right now. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Who do you have in San Antonio next Tuesday?
Considering I know Cleveland's had their struggles. They barely against the Orlando Magic on tonight on Thursday, but even with that, I say the Spurs. That's a tough one. Cleveland has it more together as a team, body wise, than the Spurs do. So I'm gonna have to say Cleveland, unfortunately.
Okay, I am also taking Cleveland, and here's why. Just because, you know, despite the Cavs' issues on defense and some of their, you know, chemistry issues that they're having right now, especially leaking some of that stuff to the media. You know, who's going to guard LeBron James with Kawhi Leonard's not there? You know, obviously you can throw Danny Green at him, but even when Danny's not there, you still got to have somebody on Isaiah Thomas. You got to have someone on Kevin Love. You know, some of these guys, J.R. Smith can get loose for some threes. So I just feel like right now, Kyle Korver, they just have too many weapons on the offensive end that I just don't think San Antonio can keep pace with them, regardless if the Cavs play bad defense in that game. I think that I'm going to give that win to the Cavs. Okay, and then next Wednesday, Stephen, on the second night of a back-to-back, the Spurs go to Memphis. The Grizzlies are 15-28 on the year, 12th in the Western Conference. You know, basically in the lottery. Offensively, they're scoring 105.5 points per 100 possessions, which is 25th. Not a very good offense. Defensively, 108.6 points per 100 possessions, which is 20th, which is a bad defense too. The Grizzlies are 5-5 in their last 10. Who do you have next Wednesday in Memphis?
The Spurs should be able to win that game. I mean, I know the Spurs have had road struggles. We've talked about that already. But Memphis is not like – it's not like it's a Cleveland or a Golden State or any of those teams. But also, Memphis can turn it on at times. So they are capable of doing that. But I do think the Spurs will have enough together. Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge should be enough to stop the combo of Marcus Gasol and Jermichael Green in the paint. The wings for Memphis are not as solid. The Spurs do have an advantage there. So I think this person come out on top in that one, hopefully.
Okay, yeah, and I'm taking San Antonio too in that one. I just don't, you know, when team, like I've always mentioned this podcast, whenever, except for the Lakers game and the Hawks game, whenever teams have bad defenses, the San Antonio's pretty much okay because, you know, that's kind of what they need is that bad defense to kind of have a decent offensive game. So I'm going to pick the Spurs in that one. So you and I are both projecting that they go 2-2 by the time next week, by at least next Thursday. Thank you again, Stephen, for joining me on SpursCast episode 479. Again, please follow Steven on Twitter at SteveMAnderson_. Steven, you don't just write for Project Spurs. You write for a bunch of different websites. Can you please promote some of those websites and kind of some of the content happening over there?
Sure. Yeah, please follow me. I'm only like 20 followers away from 2,300 followers. So anyways, I write for obviously all the Project Spurs networks, Rampage Central, Red Black 90, Next 25, covering women's college basketball. And I do write for an overseas website covering reality TV. So that's also fun.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. So make sure you follow Steven on Twitter. And he, like Akeem mentioned, he writes all over the place. I don't know how the guy does it, but he does it. Thanks again, Steven. Have a great day, man.
No problem. Thanks, Paul.